This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
We're not just weak, wimpy, know-nothings. We have authority and we have power. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I started last night a three-part series about the invisible kingdom. It's called the kingdom of God. The first thing that Jesus said in his public ministry is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matter of fact, all over the New Testament, it talks about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And I wonder how many of us really don't even fully understand what that is. You see, we live in the United States, which we might say is a type of a kingdom. The United Kingdom is called a kingdom, but there's another kingdom within this kingdom that we don't see with our natural eye, but it's actually more important than what we do see in the natural. Paul prayed that the eyes of their hearts would be enlightened that they might know the truth. So I have these eyes, but I have eyes in my heart also with which I can see things, but I see them by faith. I see them because I believe God's word. And I believe what I believe so strongly that it can't be taken away from me. It's one thing to believe a little bit, but it's another thing when you are like, you can get to the point where you don't just believe something, but you know. I mean, you absolutely know that you know. One of the very important things to be rooted and grounded in is the knowledge of how much God loves you unconditionally. There's nothing more important than that. Don't ever say when you have a trial in your life, well, God, don't you love me? Yes, God loves you. And the Word of God says that we should be rooted and grounded in that love. It talks about us being more than conquerors in Romans 8. And you know what it means to be more than a conqueror? It means that you know that you've won the battle before the fight ever starts. And that's a powerful way to live. You know, we're walking through something now that we already know how it ends. But when we're walking through it, that's when we have to keep in mind, we know how this ends. We haven't seen it yet, but we know it's going to end well. You know, I've formed a habit in the last couple of years of no matter what I'm going through, I say, this is going to end well. This is going to end good, and God is going to work something good out of this, and I'm going to know something I didn't know before and be a better person than I was before. Listen, you can encourage yourself when you're going through difficulties. How many of you are going through something pretty tough right now in your life? Well, and see, you came here today because you wanted to be encouraged, and I want to encourage you. And I think realizing that there's a lot of stuff going on in your life that you don't see, it's good stuff, is very encouraging. Just because you don't see anything happening in your life doesn't mean nothing is happening. God does a lot of work behind the scenes before it's actually manifested in our life. Amen? I mean, you see me here today, but you don't have any idea how much work has gone into this before we ever got to this today. I couldn't even explain it to you if I tried. How do you get from where I was to where I am? One step at a time, one day at a time, not giving up, learning. And there's a lot of things I don't know, but I'll tell you what I do know. I know that God loves me. And I know that he will never stop loving me. In the Bible, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He didn't say that he would love us if we keep his commandments. He already does that. And it's because he loves us that we should respond in a proper way through being obedient. And a word I used last night that I'm going to use some today. I think to some people it's almost like a nasty word, but sacrifice. If you're going to be the kind of Christian that God wants you to be and really be a world shaker and live, don't just live just for you and just always after God to give you another thing that you want that you think is going to make you happy. There's so much more than this. Eternity is like forever. We can't comprehend that with our minds. You read in Genesis the genealogy of the first several generations, and it was like man was so powerful and so strong that in the beginning, like Adam lived 900 years, and then his sons would live 860 years and 850 years, and then Methuselah lived, I think it was 930 years, and it took the devil a long time just to teach us how to die. And as you read, the lifespan got shorter and shorter and shorter. And you know why? Because the more sin that enters into the world, the more it affects everything in our lives. Amen? And so, if we want to have the kind of life, now listen to what I'm going to say. If you want to have the kind of life that Jesus has promised you, I don't mean talk about it. I don't mean hear sermons about it. I mean live it. If you want to have that joy and have that peace and know who you are in Christ and watch God do literally the impossible through you, then we have to follow the example of Christ who sacrificed everything for us. And when God asks us to make really some small sacrifice, there should never be an argument about that. God is never trying to take anything away from you. He's always trying to get something to you. Amen? So how many of you kind of sort of get that there's another whole kingdom here that we don't see? But see, I think that we need to keep it in mind more. What does Colossians 3 say? Set your mind on things above, not on things upon the earth. For you are dead and your real life is hidden with God in Christ. That doesn't mean that you just go around all the time just thinking about heaven and, you know, that you just become unrealistic and not facing the truth about anything. But we should, you know what? If you're having a hard time going to sleep at night, this is something that I do. And it's okay to do because God says to become like a little child. So you can do things that aren't just real adult, you know, if you want to have some fun with God. I like to lay in bed at night when I'm waiting to go to sleep and think about what it's going to be like when God's done with me here. I mean, is he going to come and get me and walk me through the pearly gates? Is he going to meet me? You know, and so I kind of imagine it, what it's going to be like to meet him and what we're going to talk about and just how different things are going to be. You go to sleep fast when you start thinking about stuff like that. Now, if you want to worry, the devil will keep you up all night. Are you listening to me? But if you start putting your mind on God, you'll go to sleep pretty quick. You know, I think the reason why God doesn't tell us any more than what he does about how heaven is going to be. I mean, there's some things, no more tears, no more crying, no more sadness. You know, it's going to be beautiful streets of gold and things like that. But there's a lot that we don't know. We don't know exactly what we're going to be doing there and, you know, these things. And I think that the reason why God hasn't told us more is because it is so amazing that we couldn't grasp it even if God tried to show us. That's why sometimes when you read Revelation, it's like, what? Because John had a vision of these heavenly things, and he's trying to explain them in terms that people can understand. And I just think that there's going to be things so amazing and so wonderful when we finally get out of these bodies. Imagine the freedom. Eat and never gain weight. No cellulite. Muscles without exercise. I don't know. It's just, it's going to be absolutely wonderful. So we live in this invisible kingdom. And in 1 Corinthians 13, it says that when that day comes, that right now we live like we're looking in a dark mirror. And we see things, but in a foggy, clouded way. You kind of like sort of see some things, but you're not seeing them clearly. But when that day comes, when Christ comes to get us, it says we're going to see him face to face. Boy, that's exciting. We're going to see him face to face, and we are going to, now we know in part, but then we will know completely. Well, under all the things that you have questions about, they will someday get answered. But by the time they get answered, you won't care. We just drive ourselves nutty with questions. In Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13, it says, now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, well, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? See, you can't get into heaven because you inherit your mother's faith. You got to have your own walk with God. You got to have your own faith. You have to know him for yourself. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, who was always willing to talk, said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I don't think that I could say that in a way that would get across how that must have sounded. You are, who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, the rock that Jesus is speaking of is not Peter. It's Peter's faith. It's the rock of our faith. And he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I told you last night that today we want to talk about keys, because keys unlock doors. And so there's a lot of things the Bible says that are ours, but somehow we don't seem to know how to get to them. And so we hear sermons about them and we read books about them, but if we're honest, in reality, we're not actually experiencing it on a day-to-day basis. The Bible says we can have the peace that passes understanding and that we can live in the rest of God, but most of us don't. It says we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory, not the joy of this world, but the joy of the Lord. But how many truly, consistently happy Christians do you know? I think that should be one of our greatest goals, is consistency. Positive all the time, prayerful all the time, obedient all the time, peaceful all the time, joyful all the time. Let the world do what it's going to do. But you keep your eyes on Jesus. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. So I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, he's giving Peter and the church authority. We're not just weak, wimpy, know-nothings. We have authority, and we have power. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Get rid of the words, I can't. Just get it out of your language. Now, there are times we need to admit that we can't do something, and you can't just do anything you want to do, but whatever God tells you to do, that you can do. Are you with me? I got a few happy people up here on the front row. See, sometimes we want to go and have authority over a devil, and we don't even have authority over a sink full of dirty dishes yet. I mean, you know, we got to start with the practical stuff. Can you make it through one day without complaining? Let's try that one. One day. Just can you get through one day without murmuring or complaining about anything? That in itself takes a miracle. But you know what? One of the keys into the kingdom living is an attitude of gratitude, not an attitude of murmuring and complaining. And here's a good one. The kingdom of God is all about everything positive. You can't be negative and enjoy kingdom living. You're not going to be happy if you're negative. You're not going to be happy if you're selfish. It's the simple things. It's the little things that can make such dramatic changes in our lives. Do you know that some of you today, you could just do like this and go from negative to positive? Don't be a negative, murmuring, griping, half glass empty person all your life. Get happy. Amen. But you know what? God wants to do more miracles for us. He wants to do more great things in our life, but he can't if we're going to be complaining all the time and negative and grumpy. So let me say it again. Just start by trying to get through one whole day without complaining. So there are keys. It's cool when you've got the key to the door. Keys give you authority. And you have authority. In Luke 10:19 in the Amplified Bible, I love this. It says, "Behold," which means look and see, "I have given you power and authority over all the power the enemy possesses." Now, please notice, the enemy has power, but you have something he doesn't have. You have power and authority. And the only authority the enemy has is what we give him through our lack of knowledge. He didn't have any authority over Adam and Eve until he lied to them and they believed him and took the bait. And we need to get wise enough to know our enemy. That's my book that's coming out this fall. Your battles belong to the Lord, but that doesn't mean there's nothing for you to do. You can't win a battle if you won't even show up for the fight. Right. Amen? So, I've been stopping several times a day and just thinking, man, there's angels with me everywhere I go. And as I said last night, they're not those little fat baby cherubim with the little fluffy wings on their back. I mean, the pictures that people come up with that represent the things of God. Probably the first angel we saw, we'd fall flat on our face in reverential fear. It sure wouldn't be a little chubby baby floating around with wings. Our God is an awesome God. But I want to talk to you today. I mean, I've been talking to you for half an hour already, but I want to zero in on what is the key. There's keys, but there's one main key, and that is simply this faith that we see in Peter when he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And I don't know about you, but sometimes I just need a good talking to about staying in faith. Because you know what? Faith is easy till the devil gets after you with doubt and unbelief. And a lot of that doubt and unbelief comes by paying too much attention to what we see and feel and not enough attention to the kingdom that we can't see and believing what God says about what's going on in that atmosphere more than we believe even what we see right here. Our state, Missouri, is called the Show Me State. And I wish it wasn't called that since I live there, but it is. And you see, in the world, that's pretty much the attitude. Well, you show me and then I'll believe it. But if you're going to get along in God's economy, you got to learn to be just the exact opposite. I'll believe it and then I'll see it. We always believe first, sometimes for a long time, with all kinds of tests in between. But if you won't give up, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. When the devil gets a hold of somebody that refuses to give up, his days are numbered. Amen. Hebrews 11, what is faith? I love to go and look at Hebrews 11 just every once in a while. It's just, it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is the substance, the Amplified Bible says, so it's a real thing. It has substance. Faith is a substance of things we hope for, the evidence of things we do not see. So I won't have it in the natural until I first have it by faith. When I first started serving God, I always believed that because I'd been abused, I would just have to be satisfied with a second-rate life. I would have never thought back then that I could be doing what I'm doing now. I mean, it really, 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 really is a miracle. But you know, it wasn't something that just all of a sudden happened. I mean, there was a lot of hard work and a lot of sacrifice and swimming pools full of tears and quitting and starting again and quitting and starting again and giving up and getting started again and listening to sermons and reading books 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 and reading the Bible and reading the Bible. This is not just, you know, one dab will do you. You can't just like have a lifetime full of problems and go to church a couple times and then get mad at God if they're not all fixed. I remember the lady who came to me. I was somewhere up there on the East Coast, but I don't remember exactly where. And that was when we had few enough people in our meetings that I could pray for everybody at the end. And she came and she looked at me and she said, "I want my money back." And I said, I don't understand what you're talking about. She said, "Listen, I've been doing what you told me to do for 3 weeks and nothing has changed." Honestly, it was hard for me not to laugh in her face. We'll give the devil 50 years to destroy us, but we don't want to give God more than 3 weeks to fix us. God wants to give you discernment, and he can give you discernment even about timing. When I need to talk to Dave about something that could be volatile, I never do it without praying first that God will give me the perfect timing and show me exactly when the time is right. We don't just do things when we want to do them or do what we feel like doing. We got this communication thing going on with Jesus, and we're always asking him to help us in every situation. We walk by faith, we live by faith, but faith is all about believing what this says more than you believe what you see or feel. Come on, is anybody with me today? And I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to turn your faith loose. I think some of you just need to be stirred up again in believing God for greater things. That's what Paul told Timothy. Stir up your faith. Fan that flame. Maybe some of you at one time really were believing God for something that was impossible, and you just waited so long and had so much trouble that you've just lost sight of the whole thing. And maybe God wants to reignite you today and get you on fire again and get you to stir your faith up. And don't just kind of just on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You're not too old to do something new. Come on. And you don't believe me. I didn't even go on TV till I was 52. Who starts something like that at 52? And I've been on television 25, 26 years, so it doesn't take you long to figure out how old I am if you can count. So don't tell me you're too old to do something. Amen? Don't tell me I got too many kids. When I started this ministry, I had 3 teenagers and a baby. And I'd stick that baby on my hip and we'd just take off and go. Amen? All right, Joyce, try to get back on track here. Faith is the key to those kingdom promises. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again, I love this, into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I am not born again into negativity and hopelessness. I am born again into a living hope. And let me tell you something. If you cannot have faith if you don't have hope. You know what hope is? A positive expectation that something good is going to happen to you at any moment. Could you start living like that? Something good is going to happen to me today. And something good is going to happen through me today. You get up in the morning, you don't feel good, and your back's aching, and you can't stand your job, and your house is dirty, and you're just like, well, shake it off. Get a better perspective. I'm alive. I'm breathing. Jesus loves me. I'm on my way to heaven. Something good is going to happen to me today. Listen to 1 John 5, 4. This is the victory that has overcome the world, dash, our faith. Okay, now, I love this. I get so excited every time I read this. This is continuing on in 1 Peter. He's given us an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In other words, what we know now is just a little teeny tiny bit of what we got coming. Do you understand that? The Holy Spirit is the deposit of the good things that are to come. See, maybe this affects me differently than you, but I'm like, I really believe what I'm saying. I didn't just perfectly craft together this little message. I mean, I believe this stuff. And I hope that I believe it's strong enough that God can use me to convince you There's more to life than just getting up, going to bed, and getting up, going. Now, that's part of it. But see, the thing about being a believer is you can have a supernaturally good time in the midst of doing same old ordinary stuff that you do every day. I mean, you can enjoy taking the garbage out. You can enjoy going to the grocery store. You can enjoy driving in traffic. All you got to do is keep a right perspective. And pray every morning, God, put a hand on my complaining mouth. Don't let me do it. Let's play the glad game. Come on, no matter what the enemy tries to do, find something positive to say. Something. Can you just imagine if everybody who has a fish on their car a cross around their neck, if everybody who goes off to a church somewhere on Sunday morning would just be positive. Man, we need good news out there. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. But now listen to this. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him. And you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. That's our heritage. Don't try to tell me that Jesus is not real. It is too late for me. I've experienced too much in my life and seen God do too much. And I can't explain it all, but I know that I know that I know that he is coming back for us. And even if you never had one good day the rest of your life, it's going to be worth hanging in there just for the eternity. When you die, there's only two places. You only got two options of where to go. And if you're even a little bit smart, you'll know what the best choice is. Now, it doesn't cost us anything to believe. And you know, if you're positive and you believe something good, even if you're just making it up, at least you'd be happy. Right? And I say all the time, if I spend my life believing this and I'm wrong, I didn't lose anything. But if you spend your life not believing and you're wrong, that ain't gonna be pretty. So if I were you, I'd go ahead and believe just in case. Oh my gosh, I gotta get going here. Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, or let's just say stuff. The kingdom of God is not about stuff, but it is. Here's what the kingdom is: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, here's three things that I have now through faith, through relationship with Christ, that I never had before Christ. I am in right standing with God through faith in Jesus Christ. God is not mad at me. He loves me, and I don't have to waste 1 minute of my life feeling guilty and condemned. Because when I do something wrong, I repent, I'm sorry, God forgives me, he forgets it, and I forget it too. And some of you need to not only hear what I'm saying, but you need to say, I'm taking that. That's for me. God forgives us and he forgets them. He removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. I love the choice of language. Who can figure out how far the east is from the west? He remembers them no more. So why don't you stop talking to God about something that he's forgotten? How about if you forget it too? Letting go of what lies behind and pressing on. It's so wonderful to feel good about yourself. Isn't that wonderful? You can like yourself. You can love who you are. You don't have to compare yourself with other people. And peace. Oh, my gosh, to live in rest. Ooh. And joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, moving on here. The Bible says we're to welcome the kingdom like a little child. Now, there's some interesting things about kids that we lose as we grow up. For example, whatever happened to recess? We used to get recess. And now we just work all the time. I think we should go back to having adult recesses. What do you think? What did we do at recess? We went out and played. Amen? Okay, Luke 18:17. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive, everybody say receive.
Receive.
Doesn't say get, it says receive. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter in. In other words, if you're going to believe things that you can't see, that you see in your heart but you don't see with your eyes, then you're going to have to be a little bit childlike. You know, if a three-year-old's daddy tells him to jump off of the side of the swimming pool into water that's way over his head and daddy will catch you, he jumps. He's not thinking about the water or worried about drowning. All he knows is daddy's faithful, daddy loves me, daddy will catch me. And you know what? When God tells you to jump, I said when God tells you to jump, you don't have to keep working at a job the rest of your life that you hate. You can jump and go do something you like. Even if you make less money, it's better to be happy with less money than to be miserable with a big bank account. We call it a leap of faith. Those who are childlike are called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? In Matthew 18:1-4. And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that's not talking about you won't go to heaven. That's talking about entering into this kingdom life that I'm trying to talk to you about today that we can have. In the world, but not of the world. In the world, but knowing that there's a whole lot more than what we see. Two things about children that are very important is they are trusting and they forgive so quickly. I mean, little Johnny can be ready to tear Henry's head off. And 5 minutes later, they'll have their arms around each other walking down the street, best buds in the whole world. Come on, who are you mad at? You're probably thinking, oh, I wish so-and-so would have been here today. Well, they're not, but you are, so there must be something for you. And see, we receive by faith. God says your sins are forgiven. You receive that by faith. I can't prove it to you in the natural. But if you really receive it by faith, then you don't have to be condemned. When we do wrong things, the Bible says that God will be merciful unto us. But we have to receive mercy. We receive Christ into our hearts by faith, and thereby we're born again. Children have no problem receiving. We're the ones with all the questions. Well, how can it be that simple? How can you live a life of sin and just pray a prayer and it all be gone? How can that happen? My father was the most wretched, miserable human being. He was not only abusive, but he was just mean, just ugly mean. And when he was 83, I led him to the Lord. And I can tell you, after everything he did, not only to me, but to many, many, many people, the awful way he treated my mother, he ruined my brother's life. I believe that the moment he received Christ as his Savior, that every sin was completely wiped away and forgiven. And I believe he's in heaven today hearing this message. Amen. Let's have our kids. Okay. You got my money? Now, kids are not suspicious. They just are, they're good receivers. Boy, don't I have a bunch of good-looking kids up here today? Okay, how many of you guys know what money is? Raise your hand if you know what money is, okay? How many of you like money? I got some money here. What if I give you money? Would you like that? No, you don't want any? Well, you must be one of those people out there. Thank you. See, you said you didn't want it, but you did. Thank you. The only thing I'm hearing up here from each one is, thank you. God wants to hear a lot more of that. Hey, how about a smile, handsome? Somebody's about to give you money. That's a time to smile. Thank you. I like your dress. Now you can buy something pretty to go with it. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, but it's not over. Now I got $5 bills here. How about that? That's the way it's supposed to work. When God gives us something, we receive it, say thank you, and we get happy. You're welcome. Woo! Man, now you can really buy something. Have you noticed that not one person is refusing to receive because they don't think they deserve it? Where is your smile? Man, you had to come and live with me a while. We'll teach you how to smile. You're so pretty. Wow, you look like you work out. Okay, you can go. Have a nice day. You're welcome. Now, not one of them said, why do you want to give this to me? Not one of them said, I don't trust you. See, if we learn how to receive from God like that, He says, I love you, and you should say, thank you. I forgive your sins. Thank you. Well, I just can't hardly believe that you would do that. Not as bad as I've been. No. Thank you. I'm going to give you favor everywhere you go. Woo! Thank you. Come on, you getting it?
Joyce answers your question of the day soon, so stay with us.
You know, faith sometimes sounds difficult or even elusive, but faith is all about believing what God says instead of what we see or feel. So as Joyce was saying, it's so important to stir yourself up, turn your faith loose, and believe God for greater things in your life. It doesn't mean you even have to start with a great deal of faith. The Bible says a little bit of faith goes a long way, and as you see God work, that faith grows. There is so much more to your life than you see. And that's why a teaching from Joyce called The Invisible Kingdom is so important. This is 3 teachings on CD, and you'll also get promises for your everyday life. It's a great devotional so that you can dig in every day. So between this teaching called The Invisible Kingdom that will tell you so much more about what's going on around you every day that you didn't even realize was happening. It will help build your faith. And then that time that you spend in the Word every day with your promises for everyday life devotional, you will see your faith build and grow. So request these resources today. The reason that we offer this to you every day is because we know the Word of God is what makes a difference. It's what changed Joyce's life. It's what changed my life. It's what will change yours. So contact us right now, pick up these resources and see what God does.
You can experience God's promises today. Joyce wants to teach you how in her audio series, The Invisible Kingdom. In 3 hours of teaching, you'll learn how to believe that God is working in your life even when you can't see it. When you order today, you'll also receive Joyce's devotional book, Promises for Your Everyday Life. Inside, you'll find a devotion for every day of the year. Each includes scripture, practical encouragement from Joyce, and a prayer starter.
I love Joyce's teaching because she's been there, done that, experienced difficult situations in her life, and she's comes from such a humble place. That's where we all aspire to be, and I really relate with her in that regard.
This offer is available for $30 or more. Simply order online at joycemeyer.org or call us 1-800-727-9673.
We've all been there, not knowing where to turn, feeling powerless in life's struggles, with no strategy to fight back. But did you know you don't have to fight your battles alone? That you do not have to live defeated? There is another way. Discover how you can become more than a conqueror with the newest book from New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer, Your Battles Belong to the Lord. The book brings to light the real enemy of your soul and how God is ready to help you win all of life's battles. This hard-hitting guide for life's challenges explains how you can triumph over any obstacle you face. Get your copy of Joyce's book, Your Battles Belong to the Lord, now available wherever books are sold.
Big question for you today on the question of the
day. Uh-oh.
This is from Deanna, and Deanna asks, will God always forgive us?
Yes, He will.
Clear and simple.
Very
you can
simple.
Trust it.
I mean, there's one unpardonable sin in the Bible, but anybody who cares enough about whether their sins will be forgiven or not hasn't committed that sin.
So the fact that she's concerned about God forgiving her says that he will.
And I know when I bring up the unpardonable sin, that probably opens up, you know, a whole nother big bunch of questions, but that sin can only be committed by somebody who's had a really, really close, tight relationship with God, who's known him and walked with him and purposely turns his back. And even if somebody has done that, if they're now feeling repentant, then they still haven't committed that sin. It's not something that's easy to do. So it's not something that people need to be concerned about. There's no sin that God won't forgive you for, and there's no limit on how many times you can be forgiven. You know, actually, all of our sins are already forgiven. They were forgiven on the cross. What we have to do is just admit our sin and then receive that forgiveness. We're not like trying to talk God into forgiving us.
Yeah. So anyone who has that question is concerned, I don't know if God can forgive me of this. Mm-hmm. The answer is that simple. Yes.
God forgives you and he forgets it. That's an amazing thing to me. Like, my dad was so mean and hurt so many people, and he sexually abused me, and he ruined my brother's life, and he ruined my mother's life. And when he was 83, he let me pray for him to receive Christ. And as mean as he was all those years, I know that he was instantly forgiven for all those sins. And you almost can look at things like that sometimes and say, well, that's not fair. You know, I've been a fairly good person all my life, but we don't understand God. I mean, God is gracious and he's merciful and he's faithful. And I mean, he's just good. He's going to be good to people that don't deserve it.
Yeah. Well, I like that answer. That's a good answer.
Good.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.